Well, guys, tonight I'm really excited. We're continuing our series, Man in the Mirror. But we are going to have one of our Paramount leaders speaking with us tonight, and his name is Ari. And if you've never met Ari, he's one of the coolest guys. He's awesome. You're going to love him. So can we do this? Can we give a very warm Paramount welcome to Ari Bush?
That's it? That's all I get? I'm kidding. That was too much. Thank you, Ryan. Hey, guys, how's it going tonight? It's a beautiful night to be here outside with you. I'm so excited. So again, like Ryan said, my name is Ari. Thank you, brother. And I've been helping out, leading a little bit of worship with you guys these last few months, and it's been great to get to know some of you, but there's a lot of you I still don't know, so I'm excited to continue to get to know you guys. So I wanted to say a little bit about myself, since a lot of you don't necessarily know me. I've been married to my wife, who normally helps out here. She couldn't be here tonight, but my wife, Sarah, we've been married for almost 7 years, which is insane. We have two kids, my son, Ezra, and my daughter, Parker. You're thinking those are really cool names. I picked them. So we have an amazing life together, and I grew up in church, but if I'm being honest with you, I spent a lot of my life kind of completely missing the point of it. And so that kind of brings us to what we want to talk about tonight. We're talking about your heart. And I don't know how many of you were able to be here 2 weeks ago when Ryan kicked the series off. I was very ill, and I was not here. But thanks to the miracle of podcasts and modern technology, I listened to it, and it was amazing. If you haven't listened, I would recommend that you check it out, because what he had to say about identity and what God has to say about where you find your value, it moved me, and I'd like to build on that a little bit tonight, if that's okay. So I wanted to start by telling an embarrassing story about myself. I figured that would be okay with you guys to laugh at me. Good. I like to be laughed at. So how many people here own a pair of skinny jeans? Good. Most hands. So now, I assumed I would get that response. Now, would you say that skinny jeans are the most popular kinds of pants, really, like, that you could buy today? Could we? Leggings? Okay, that both guys and girls can wear the leggings. No, they can't. That's what I'm saying. Skinny jeans. Okay, so we're in agreement. Well, I'm going to act like we're in agreement. Skinny jeans are the most popular kind of pants you could buy today. But when I was in high school and junior high, an embarrassingly long time ago, the opposite was popular. Really baggy jeans is what was in. If we had a screen out here, I was ready to show you guys like super hilarious pictures of ridiculously baggy jeans that people wore in the 90s. Some people went a little over the top. Now, this was more of a guy thing than a guy and girl. Girls didn't do as much of the baggy jeans, but for a guy, that was where it was at, and I really, I didn't have any cool baggy jeans. My mom, God bless her, she was a single mom who worked in a factory. We didn't have a lot of money, so I had these generic Walmart jeans that I hated them. I despised every day that I had to put them on. So I came up with this idea, and honestly, it's an amazing idea. You're going to be jealous that you didn't think of it first when I tell it to you. I don't know if you're ready, so I just hope that you can stay seated when I reveal my genius to you. So I was 14 years old, and this to me was a genius idea. I realized that I was going to steal a pair of my mom's jeans. Yeah, I know. You're impressed. You can be impressed. It's okay. I was really a scrawny little guy, so they were really big on me. That got the baggy part. They weren't really made to be worn by a teenage boy, but I felt like it was an upgrade from where I was normally going to be. So I pulled it off. I got the pair of jeans that I wanted. I helped out with laundry, so that's how I kind of snaked them away. And I wore them on the bus. Nobody said anything. I thought that was weird. They didn't notice how cool I looked. First period, nobody said anything. I get to second period, and finally, somebody notices. And a girl said, "Where did you get those? They look weird." And I hadn't prepared for that question, where did you get those? Because I was just waiting for people to be so impressed with how good I looked with the new and improved scrawny, nerdy me that now had baggy pants. All the ladies, they were just, I assumed, going to be asking me out on dates. Instead, she asked where I got my pants, and because I hadn't formed a backup plan, I told her the truth. And she laughed because I was wearing my mom's pants. And it was funny. I can laugh now. I couldn't laugh then. So that was a pretty big failure for me. And deep down, though, it kind of confirmed what I already knew about myself. I was so uncool. And I knew I was uncool, and I hated that. I didn't want people to see me that way. And so this was my desperate attempt to, like, change my image with them. And don't we all wish sometimes that we could control how people see us? Don't you want that? Or I know a lot of times I look around and I would think, I really wish I knew what everybody else was thinking. Have you ever felt that way? Like, I'd like to know, like, what do they think about me? What are they thinking? Also, I wanted to know what they were thinking because, frankly, I had no idea what I was doing with my life. Like, I felt like I would see confident people around me and they know what they're doing. They seem like they know what they're doing. I have no clue. So I just wish I knew. And I thought, when I become an adult, at least, then I'll know, right? I'll be old enough. I'll know how to talk, how to act. And finally, I'll have some, like, focus and, like, some clarity on what I'm supposed to do because I just feel like an idiot all the time right now. So I have to tell you, I'm 33. I've had a mortgage for almost a decade. I own a car. I lease another car. I have two healthy children that, you know, somehow we've raised this far. They're alive. You would think that sounds like a stable adult, right? I'm going to let you guys in on a secret. I have no idea what I'm doing. Every day, all the adults you see, most they're just making it up as they go. But you think, oh, they know what they're doing. Everyone, they look so confident. That's just because they're better fakers than the rest of us who are terrified every single day. Now, I'm saying that kind of joking, but there's somebody here, if you feel like that, I just want to encourage you. It's okay to not know what's going on all the time. It's okay to feel freaked out about your life. Life is intimidating a lot of times. That's why those of us who have Jesus, that's why we rely on Jesus so heavily, because we don't know what we're doing. So I'd like to encourage you. If that's you, I hope you can be encouraged by that. I still don't know what I'm doing. But, you know, we want control, don't we? Like, we're sick of, at least I was at your age, I was sick of parents and teachers and just people in general having control over me. And so I really wanted to define myself, and we want to define ourselves and determine how people view us. And it's like when you're trying to take that perfect selfie. I'm not a big selfie guy, but I feel like I've seen enough of them to know what it's about, right? So you the phone, for some reason, goes up, and then at an angle. I don't know why that's like the most flattering thing. I feel like it's up and to the left, and you snap a few. You find the right one, and then you're looking for filters, right? So you're like, I don't know what filters you guys are using. Valencia was one that I liked back in the day. Is that even still a thing? Oh, okay. That was an enthusiastic, yeah. So it's like, Valencia, perfect. Now people will see how handsome I am. Yes. They're gonna see, and they're going to comment and like. I'm going to get that notification badge that gets you, like, excited. You get excited when you see, like, 5 new notifications. Don't lie. You get pumped. It's exciting. But isn't it a little deflating, at least for me, when at the end of the day, when I look in the mirror, what I see doesn't really match what was in that perfect Instagram or Snap. Like, the mirror just kind of looks like me, you know? When I look in the mirror, I don't have it perched up over here where the selfie would be taken from. I don't have the light being filtered in a way that makes my skin glowy and attractive. I kind of just look like I look in this room right now with this lighting. That's who I am. And if I was in a different room, now maybe if I was in a different room with different lighting in a different mirror, I'd look pretty much like I look now, you know. That's what mirrors do. They show you what you're looking at, right? And filters and angles, they can hide things, but But mirrors, they won't. Filters and angles are really good at hiding things, but mirrors, they can't. They can't hide anything. They just do your job. They just reflect right back at you. And, you know, it's the same with our hearts. You know, we can project this confident other person. I don't know how you do it. I realized pretty early on that if I was going to be a scrawny, nerdy kid who liked books, comic books, and drawing, I should try and be funny. I got to have something, right? So I tried to develop my sarcasm and my humor, and really a lot of it was so I could make fun of myself, because I didn't want you to make fun of me. I was going to control that conversation. So I was going to make the joke before you could make the joke, and then you had no power over me. So it was all about controlling the narrative, right? We want to control how we're viewed, even if it's in a negative way. I was going to do that. I was going to control it. I wasn't going to let them control it. And I was so afraid that when someone else looked at me, they would see exactly what I saw, because I didn't like what I saw in the mirror. I didn't like who I was, you know? I hated it. I hated being with me all the time. But there I was, with me every day. And there were no camera apps to dress things up, so I would worry endlessly about my clothes and, you know, like wearing the right brand. And again, we didn't really have any money, so that stuff didn't come by us too easily. But there was a really cool boot that was called Lugs. I don't know, you guys are going to be too young to know about Lugs. It was spelled L-U-G-Z, Lugs. Huh? Now, in the 90s, when you wanted to demonstrate how super gangster something was, you took the S out and you put a Z in. It was genius. I was like, whoa, Lugs, I get it. Yes, sign me up. So, one year, by some miraculous miracle, my mom is able to set aside $100 for me and each of my sisters. I have two sisters. And she takes us to the Eastwood Mall and says, whatever you want for your school clothes, it's all you. Like, I'm not going to buy it for you this year. You pick it out. And I was like, yeah. I was excited. So this was a big deal because we did not get to do things like this. So that money didn't stay with me very long. It wasn't soon before I saw this pair of tan suede Lugs. Oh, they were so cool. You guys don't even know how cool they were. Again, if we had a screen, I would show you a picture of how cool these shoes were. But I didn't care that they were $80. I didn't care that it was most of my money out the window. And to be honest, I don't remember what else I bought with the 20 I had left over. I was just so excited about these shoes. So I get these suede shoes, and I'm like, I'm so pumped. I actually cannot wait until school starts. I start wearing them early because I'm just too excited. People are really going to be impressed. I felt like this was the turning point for my social life that I needed. And so one day I wore them, and it rained. Does anybody know what happens to suede in the rain? Ooh, was right. I didn't know that. I'm an idiot. So it rained on my shoes, and when water hits suede, especially if it hasn't been treated, it looks spotted. It changes the texture of it. It doesn't look smooth and cool anymore. It looks ridiculous. But they were the shoes I had bought for the whole school year, so I wore them all year, and I looked ridiculous because that's the decision that I made. But even if I hadn't ruined those shoes, do any of you think that they were going to, like, make a drastic effect on my social life? Probably not. We'll never know. I mean, I'm holding out hope that maybe it could have, but I don't think so. And you know, we can spend our whole lives trying to find that right look, that perfect angle. Then, you know, things will finally be right. I used to think, like, if I could just get a pair of pants. It sounds silly, but I really thought that. Like, if I could just get these things, I'll feel better. And all that stuff, what's funny is it's so temporary anyways. Like, that style of boot and that brand were not popular for much longer. There's a reason none of you have heard of Lugs. They didn't make it. So it wasn't going to stand the test of time anyway. But what satisfies us now for a short time, it's going to be aged and dated really quickly. It will amaze you how quickly the things you're excited about today age. And there's going to be something else. And what we have to learn to do, guys, is to like what we see in the mirror. And that's not easy because we're so used to seeing everybody else's angled and filtered shot. They look perfect.
Yeah, but when they look in the mirror, they're just like you. They're not happy with what they see when they look in the mirror. And we need to figure out how to be happy with what we see in the mirror. But none of us can do that without God's help. So the writer of Proverbs has a lot to say about the heart. And excuse me. And I love what it says in chapter 26, verse 23. It says, "Smooth words may hide a wicked heart, just as a pretty glaze covers a clay pot." Now, a clay pot was not necessarily the most impressive thing back in the day. Excuse me. Parched. A weird word. So if you had money in Bible times, you would have metal vessels. You would have like a silver tray or a bronze something or other. Most people just had clay because they didn't have that kind of money. So what you would do to set your clay apart from your loser neighbor's clay, you would glaze that crap up. And it would look amazing. It would look different. It would be your clay pot. And so so the writer of Proverbs is saying, hey, you know, you can glaze that clay all you want. It's still just clay, right? It's not that special. Everyone's got it in their house. Go up and down the block. And you can put together smooth words that even might sound good to people. But your heart is your heart. And we can wear whatever clothes we like. We can use whatever filters and angles we want, but your heart is your heart. And guys, God is all about your hearts. That's the real you. The clay beneath all the glaze. And no one wins when we try and fool people, right? And sometimes we're good at fooling people. You can be good even at fooling yourself. A lot of us can be good at that. But in the end, if we don't deal with people in our lives and with God with honesty and openness, then we never get beyond a superficial level. And that's an empty life. There's no depth to that life. And you'll find out that's an unsatisfying life. One of my favorite worship leaders, Charlie Hall, tells this great story. He had an intern, he was a youth pastor, and he had an intern in his youth group that was like twice his height. Now, Charlie Hall's like 5'4", 5'5", so he's not a tall guy. But this guy was like 6'5", you know, so they thought it'd be really funny if they put on sumo wrestler suits. Have you guys seen these like padded sumo wrestler suits? And wrestled each other for youth group. They thought that would be hilarious. He said it really wasn't that funny. But they buy these suits, and if you've never seen it, it's like all this padding, and you kind of waddle, you know, because you're not used to carrying all that extra mass, and you look really awkward, but you've got to fight somebody in this stinking thing. So Charlie says he gets actually pretty good at operating. They do this 2 or 3 times. He's consistently taking down this guy that's twice his size. He's like owning him. He started to know how to move in the suit, how to use the mass of that sumo costume to push his opponent around, and he was winning. And he makes a great point. He says, you know, that we can do the same thing with our hearts. We can put on these heavy costumes, and we can try and present ourselves to the world and to God as this different person. But all we end up doing is just we bump up against each other's costumes, you know? If I'm wearing a costume and you're wearing a costume and I'm pushing you around and you're pushing me around, but we don't ever actually connect. We don't ever actually learn anything about each other or have like an honest connection as friends. And it's the same thing with God. We can't really connect with God if we're so intent on projecting this other person. That's not who we really are. So it's scary because if you show people the real you, they might not like it. And that is scary, right? It's scary to me. I mean, maybe it's not scary to you, but it's scary to me. And it's like, what if they mock you? I've been mocked. It's not fun. What if they don't like you? That's not fun either. But then there's Jesus. So Jesus came down from heaven. He's the Son of God. He came down from heaven, and he took on human flesh, and he lived a perfect life, didn't make any mistakes, but he died for a bunch of people who are exactly who they are. He died for you exactly how you are right now. He didn't die for some future version of you that's figured things out. He didn't die for some version of you that's been filtered and pictured at the right angle. He doesn't need flash. He loves you just as you are. Romans 5:7 says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know about you, but that I get excited about that because God has seen the real me, he's seen the real you, and he's completely in love with you. He has no doubts about his love. He is in love with you without reservation. So what does this mean for our everyday life? It means that we don't have to rely on some costume to protect us from getting hurt. We don't have to worry about constantly putting ourselves through filters and at angles to try and project what we want into the world. It means that we can be open to God and honest with God and honest with the people in our lives and actually interact with them. And to be honest, guys, with ourselves, which is important and not always easy, but it's something we can do when we start to walk in this love I'm talking about. Excuse me. There is no greater feeling than to know that regardless of every fault and flaw you have, God loves you. You can say it. Saying it's one thing. A lot of us say it, God loves me. But when you actually embrace that truth in your heart, it's the most freeing feeling you've ever felt. I used to think that I would have to trick God and the people around me into loving me because I didn't like me and I didn't see any worth in me. I remember being worried that all my friends would realize how uncool I was and they would just leave me, which was crazy. They were my friends. They didn't want to leave me, but this is the battle that we go on in our minds when we're constantly measuring our worth by what we think people might be thinking about us. You get caught in a cycle of living and dying on people's approval or their disapproval, and it's completely exhausting. But it's so energizing to just accept the love that God already has for you. To just accept the approval that he already has for you. He says, yes, you're wonderful. Now. Period. So that's my challenge to you. You know, when those negative thoughts come, when the temptation to cover up your flaws and present this other person that's not really you to the world, when you feel that temptation coming, stop. Just stop for one moment and think about God. Think about how much he loves you. Try and really understand that he is in love with you. We're talking not just I love you from a distance. God is actively in love with you. So this is an ongoing thing. He's loving you all the time. And guys, when we start to walk in that love, and we actually start to love ourselves and love other people with this love of God, it literally can change the world. Here's my last scripture. It's in John 13:35, and this is Jesus talking. It says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. But we can't love one another if we never actually interact with each other. And if we never get beyond the surface of things, if we just stay at costume level, then we never get to experience the joy of loving and being in love. And this is going to sound corny, guys, but I'm old enough to know there's no greater joy in the world than to love and to be loved. The best moments of my life all involve those two things. And the amazing thing is the Bible says that if you embrace that love, it will change your world. And then if it changes your world, it can change the world. Because they're going to know, people are going to know that Jesus is who he says he is because of the love that's available from you. Because it's been unlocked in you. There's someone out there who maybe you don't know them yet, maybe you do. They're depressed, they're sick of the way things are, and they're waiting to meet you and see the love that you walk in, the love that God has for you, the approval that God has for you. They're going to see that, and you're going to be able to be open and honest with them because you're not wearing costumes. You're not worried about filters and angles all the time. You can have a real conversation with them, and it could be the thing that takes them out of the rut they're in. There's somebody who's so sick of all the fake people they see. They're tired of all the fake nonsense they see, and you are going to be the one who shows them someone who's real. someone who's never fake. Jesus is never fake with us. He's always honest, and he's always in love with us, and he's in love with the people that God wants to use you to reach. He wants to do amazing things with your life, and you think maybe that's not possible. I know this because I think on a regular basis, that's not possible. How could God use me to change anybody's life? But he can do amazing things with your life. And it all starts with just this. It starts with knowing he loves you. And that's easy to say, again, but it's a lot bigger than just words. It will change your life. Guys, can we pray? Would you bow your heads? Father, we just thank you that you love us. We thank you that there's nothing that we have to do to earn your love. And Lord, help us to know that there's nothing that we can do. When we're tempted to earn the affection of people, when we're tempted to try and earn your affection, God, would you just show us in that moment how much you love us? Help us to realize as we walk through this life that we are completely loved by you, that we have your approval. I thank you that every person in this room, God, if it had just been them, you sent your son and he died for them. Lord, make that real in our hearts. Help us to see you as you are, to see you as you love us. God, and help us to love people around us, even the people that are difficult to love. I thank you that as we walk in your love, we'll be able to love people we never thought we could love, and that love can change their world. We thank you that all this is possible, not because of us, but because of who you are and what you do, and we ask for it in Jesus' name. I want you to keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed. Maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, this all sounds great, but I've never met this Jesus you're talking about. I haven't really experienced this love. It's kind of a foreign idea to me. And if that's you, we're so excited that you're here because there's no accidents. God is in his love for you, pursuing you. He wanted you to be here tonight. He wanted you to know that he's in love with you. And so if you've never met Jesus, he wants you to know right now that he loves you. And he died. If it had only been for you, he would have died for you. The Bible says that he died, and after 3 days, he rose again. And that act changed the world. His act of love, of sacrificial love, it changed the whole world, literally transformed it. And he's ready to transform your world tonight. We want to make an invitation to you. If you don't feel like that's you, please feel no pressure. But if you feel like, yes, God, I would like to get to know you. I want to know this Jesus who loves me. I would like to enter into this relationship. Then we're going to pray a prayer, and you don't have to pray alone. We're all going to say it together, okay? So you don't have to be intimidated about the people around you, what they think. If you want to pray this, just focus on God and try and mean it with all your heart. Just be honest and sincere. That's what this is all about, just being honest and sincere. So let's go ahead and let's pray. Guys, if you could just pray with me, that'd be awesome. Jesus, we thank you. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you died for me. I thank you that you rose from the dead. I ask you to forgive me for all my mistakes. I thank you that you love me in spite of all of that. And today, I ask you to lead me. I ask you to be my friend. Pray in Jesus' name.